Thank you very much for your visit at our parliament. I am the chairman of the Economic Committee and Public Works, and this is Elder Amaral, the vice president of the same committee, and Pedro Saraiva, the Social Democrat Party, the speaker in this committee, the Social Democrat Party. Thank you very much. You can make the questions, and we are at our disposition.
The chairman, Parliamentary Committee on Economic Committee, and the vice chairman, the leader of the party, other honorable members of this distinguished parliament, we thank you very much for having time to receive us. I'm El Komodo BG Saidu, the leader of the team from the National Defense College in Nigeria. Please, distinguished chairman, permit me to invite the other members of the team to introduce themselves before I brief you further. Please.
I am Brigadier General Didi Amadu, the team coordinator.
Colonel Uzamere, directing staff.
Commander MB Katagum, deputy defense attaché.
Colonel AI Onibasa, participant.
Captain AA Babalola, Nigerian Navy participant.
Colonel SA Yaro, Nigerian Army participant.
Mrs. Suba, staff of National Defense College.
Mr. MM Liman, Minister, Nigerian Embassy, Lisbon.
Group Captain Ayuba Lassa, Nigerian Air Force participant.
Miss Mary Agalabo, staff of the college.
Commissioner of Police Yahaya Ardo, participant.
Colonel Isiaku, participant.
Captain T. Sudofia, Nigerian Navy participant.
Group Captain Yahya Garba, Nigerian Air Force participant.
Captain Abi Adamu, Nigerian Navy participant.
Group Captain SK Ghana, Nigerian Air Force participant.
Colonel AH Roma, Nigerian Army participant.
Captain AA Ayinde, Nigerian Navy participant.
Thank you, sir. Distinguished Chairman, the National Defense College is the highest military educational institution in Nigeria. It trains senior military officers and prepares them for higher strategic appointments. The college also trains officers from the Nigeria Police and senior staff from strategic ministries, departments and agencies of the government. We also train senior officers from sister African countries. And the college also has a center that serves as called the Center for Research and Strategic Studies, Strategic Research and Studies. It serves as the nerve center for studies on conflict, peacekeeping and peace support operations for the Nigerian Armed Forces. It is also the nerve center, the hub of all strategic training for peace support operations in West African subregion. As a requirement for graduation from this college, the participants are expected to embark on geostrategic world study tour of different countries in order to study the socio-economic activities in those countries for comparative purposes. As at now, we have 9 other teams going around the globe. Going around the globe, studying so many different themes for the purpose of comparison. Our purpose of coming here is to study, the theme of our visit to this great country is tourism and national development in Portugal, lessons for Nigeria. So we are supposed to study tourism and for the purpose of learning, taking some lessons for our great country, for Nigeria. The country, Nigeria, has a lot of tourism potentials. We have sites, structures, and institutions that could be developed for the purpose of tourism. That is why we're here to study the tourism, and we also have a lot of potentials, economic and potentials for investment in the tourism industry. So our study here is to enable us to look at tourism in Portugal, in this great country, and take some lessons for our own country. Nigeria is also involved in a lot of, peacekeeping operation is one of the major troops contributing countries in the world. So it is with great honor that we sit down before you, this distinguished committee, to listen to you and also interact with you. I'm sure this interaction will be fruitful to both this great country and also our country, Nigeria. Thank you very much, sir.
As you see. Many thanks, Mr. President, in my behalf, in my party, and this committee, I want to welcome you in our parliament, in our country. As you see, I was born in Angola, is easily to see, in the north, Malange. Well, I see that we have here a lot of members of the Committee of Defense or the military staff, but it's interesting to we know little about Nigeria. We have some Nigeria citizens in our country, not so many, but a few. We see some point of interest in Nigeria because we have oil and petrol, and this is the best natural resource that you have. And another natural resource that you have that is very good is the tourism, of course. And I think for we have a lot of products of tourism and a lot of countries in the work in tourism. There are many visitors, but we must innovate. And the African region and African continents, perhaps if you work the right way, perhaps in near future, will be the best destination from tourism. Natural tourism, for example, we have some example in Kruger Park, in Mozambique, now in Angola, and Tanzania, for example, because you have the products, we have the programs that only can do in Africa. For example, to see animals only in Africa, to see beautiful paisages in Africa, to see waterfalls, the best one, okay, in America Latina, but in Africa. But the problem is for improve the tourism industry, we need 3 things. Security. Nobody wants to visit a place where we don't have security. roads to communicate, to access to the locals, not the best ones or the high highways, roads, simply, and the transportation. Flights, railways if possible, or buses or cars. This is the, and of course we must learn and you must to form people to work in tourism because it's very important. We can have the best hotel in the world, the best natural condition, but if you don't have people who want to work, who like to work in tourism, who it's available to receive and take care of the tourist is not possible to improve and to make money with this industry. It's because you need to resolve some problems, some structural problems, to work in tourism correctly, like other countries. And we have in neighborhood some countries who are, okay, they are some countries with a lovely and very good beaches. You have a lot of countries in Africa which we love, can take some part of the tourism in the world, like Cuba, is same to Cuba, Republic, Dominican Republic, or Caribbean, for example. In Africa, we have same conditions to do same thing that someone may do in Caribbean, for example, in Mozambique, Bijagos, or Guinea. If you have peace, there are lots of conditions to do in and beaches tourism. But we have so another tourism, the natural tourism, and I think you must resolve that problems. And okay, you must build hotels, infrastructure, these roads and hotels. And the tourism is perhaps the first condition to show the country, to show all capacities of the country, to show the people, to show the quality of the people, and then you can, by the tourism, you can get more business, like another investments, because the people know the country, like the country, see the potential of the country, and then can make another business. It's because I want to congratulations for shoes, of course, the defense and the structure of defense, like one of the priorities, and another way, the tourism, because the tourism is the first and easier way to show the country, to show the potential of the country, of the people, and get relations with another country, another cultures, another people, to see the country and then make investment or make improve our relationship with Portugal, with the European community, with another countries who speak our language or your neighbors, whenever, because there are a large potential in internal tourism. People of Africa, for example, the countries we have economy, much strong economies like South Africa, now Angola, or the North of Africa can do internal tourism, can make also tourism in people in Africa for the countries in Africa. The last thing I can say is you can ask us for help. We are all pleasure to help you to change point of view, to speak, to write. We are, for example, I think we have our contacts. If not, we can give you our contacts. And my party and myself, I don't see any problem to, if possible, one day visit your country. But another way to speak by internet or to give you some information by mail or by phone. Okay? Many thank you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful interventions. I introduce you the member of the Socialist Party, Duarte Cordeiro, and member of the Economic Committee and Public Works. Now, the Pedro Saraiva, the Social Democrat Party, the speech in the committee.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Chairman, and welcome all of you to Portugal.
I don't know, I suppose it's the first time you are in Portugal for most of you. I hope it's not the last time you do it. I hope you enjoy your week. I think you are spending here a whole week visiting our country with this special focus around the tourism sector. I represent here the Social Democratic Party, which is the major party in Portugal, and we support the present Portuguese government in a coalition with the CDS, who is represented here. Yeah, that's true. Represented here by Elder Amaral. I think you know that tourism plays a critical role in our society and in our economy. I think that's why you made the choice, since you are trying to address tourism, to do it, studying our national experience. A good percentage of our GDP is connected with tourism activities. A considerable fraction of our employment also is connected with that. And regarding international trade, we export a lot in terms of having international tourists coming to Portugal every year. That has been the case for a number of years. But since you are sort of trying to figure out what should be the future in Nigeria, I think it's important to take into account a number of trends that are happening and are also affecting Portugal. So Portugal is also rethinking a little bit on the best way to address the future challenges of tourism. Just by coincidence, we just came back yesterday from a fieldwork visit that this commission made to the south of Portugal, to Algarve, which is one of the most well-known regions in terms of touristic activities, and they have to think about the future. So I would say that the first message is that nothing should be taken for granted. So the choices we make today for promoting tourism in Nigeria maybe will have to be revisited every 10 years because the world is changing a lot, and in tourism activities is changing eventually even in the faster speed than in other sectors. So Elder Amaral mentioned a couple of these changes. I think some of them should be retained at this particular time we are living in. One of them is that typically today tourists make decisions by themselves. So they have access to online choices, they get information by themselves, so they're not relying so much in travel agencies, and they want to make decisions as informed as possible. And they make those decisions pretty much at the worldwide level. So it's not a matter of deciding just at European level or the African level when I want to choose which part of the world I'm going to use the few weeks I have for vacation. It's really a worldwide competition that you have to take into account. That's what I'm seeing here. And you have to be very clever in terms of seeing what does Nigeria have to offer in this worldwide environment that other places do not have to offer. And some of our tourism is suffering because they did not make this analysis in due time. And for instance, Turkey just tried to come up with offers that now compete with some of our national offers. And maybe we did not readjust soon enough, and we are losing some potential for people that used to come to Portugal. But now, for instance, they go and they play golf in other countries, which became more competitive than ourselves, because it's a very challenging kind of a business. And that's something that you should take into account. The second, I think Elder already mentioned that, but it's not, I would say, enough to reinforce the idea. And since you belong to a college, so you are students at this stage of your life, myself, I am also a professor at one of the universities in Portugal. I think it's key to have well-qualified people. So in this competitive environment, if I don't have someone replying to my requests, then next year I will just change to some other place in the world. So having well-qualified people at all levels, I think is a critical part of it. The details are very important. You should not miss a single critical thing that will make a good experience or a less good experience of a tourist visiting Nigeria. And for that you need to have, I don't know exactly how is your education system and to what extent do you have
already schools specializing in tourism training. So I think that's a critical part of it, having well-qualified people at all different levels, from the lowest to the highest, so we can even talk about managing hotels and hospitality issues. Of course, then you need, at the operational level, also people very well trained in the operations that you take into account. Because in the end, that's the most powerful, and I come back to the beginning, word of mouth is more powerful than ever in terms of someone who visits a given country, and either he's going to recommend it to his friends or he'll not do so. And when you have these online mechanisms, you can even know for a given particular hotel what are the feelings of other tourists in that hotel or in that country. That plays a lot of relevance in terms of further developing the activity in your own country. So I think don't take for granted that there are magic solutions. The solutions for Portugal may be totally different from the solutions in Nigeria, but some trend seems to be taking place at the worldwide level, and you should not forget them in order to prepare your country for further development and promotion of tourism. Of course, that you mentioned, and that's critical for Portugal at the present times, we are very open to foreign investment. So we have very nice possible investments taking place in the tourism sector. It will be nice to have some contacts with the Portuguese agency that promotes tourism abroad and the Portuguese agency for capturing foreign investment, because all foreign investment is welcome these days in Portugal. And I think at the commercial and the level, there seems to be a lot of room also for further improving bilateral relationships. So the numbers of imports and exports between Portugal and Nigeria are not too much expressive. So I think there is room in the tourism sector and other sectors for us to reinforce these exchanges and to promote mutual relationships that will be good, I assume, both for Portugal and Nigeria. And thanks a lot for being with us, and have a nice day here in our very nice country. Use the best of it, and of course, we are available now and later on to help you in this relationship, which is very essential and critical for us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Very much, Mr. Pedro Saraiva. Now, Duarte Cordeiro, the Member of Parliament and the Socialist Party.
Thank you very much. I would like to welcome you to Portugal and to the Parliament. I'm a member of the Socialist Party. We are the main opposition party in Portugal. This is not the subject that divides us. So besides, I'm an opposition, they are government, but we are not divided in terms of tourism, so it's a good subject to discuss, because I can say that everything that Elder said and everything that Pedro said, I have the same opinion. So for you, it's important to know that it's very important for a country to have consensus in terms of some matters. This is a matter to have consensus, because I think it's very important for your country not to divide yourself in terms of strategy, in terms of economic strategy, to gain a bigger share of tourism regarding all the world. I don't have much more to say, but I would like to just give you two ideas I think is important. That it's difficult for you to increase a lot if Africa doesn't increase a lot in terms of tourism. So I think in terms of African all the organizations in terms of development that you can have in terms, what I'm saying is that usually the tourists when decide to go to Africa, they have the idea of adventure or nature or this kind of vacation. So you compete with other African countries. So if the African market rises, you also rise with the African market. So it's important to you to have a strategy to grow the African market, not only Nigerian market, but also African market. I think it's important for you to have that strategy. You are the biggest in terms of population, I think the biggest country in Africa. You are very powerful, you are growing with good rhythm, so you have to lead. I think it's important for you not to have any problems with leadership in terms of also this kind of subjects, because I think you can also grow with the other with the African market. I think it's important, and you compete directly with other African countries that also have more infrastructures in terms of tourism, like South Africa and so on. The second thing that I think it's important is that it's important to learn with those who already have the experience. So to attract investors, foreign investors, to develop the tourism in Nigeria, I think it's important. We also have good companies in Portugal that have already a big position in a lot of countries in the world. So despite we need to balance a little bit the trade with Nigeria, because we need, it's a little bit unbalanced for us, the trade that we have with Nigeria, because we import much more than we export. The truth is that we have good experienced companies that already have international and multinational companies in tourism, good, well, some of the best. And you can also try to attract them to invest in Nigeria. They already have investments in Africa. They have in Cape Verde. They have in some of our Portuguese-speaking country. But also, it's important, they also have in South Africa, for instance. So we have some of our Portuguese tourist groups that already have investments in Africa. And I think it's also a goal for you to see which group, which economic groups already have investment in Africa, and then you can attract to your country. So, because those are the ones that are more open to do it. I think you have if you are open to that, maybe they will be open also to do the investment. And another way that Pedro said is also to, because you have resources, you can also buy economic groups that have tourism in other countries and learn with the experience and then bring the experience to Nigeria. And sometimes you can do it otherwise. You have to buy positions, like you buy other economic groups that have already developed tourism in other countries, but they don't have it in Nigeria, like a step to, in a little bit further on the way, they can also bring the experience. I think the country that almost does it a lot with us, it's Angola, because they also, they usually, they have in this phase, because of the export of oil, they buy some of our groups that in one specific market, and then they bring the experience of that group to their country. It's a way also to learn. That's a lot of paths that you can follow. I'm just underlining some of the paths, because there's a lot of ways to reach. And as Elder said, it's very important infrastructures. If you have resources, start to invest in infrastructures, because without infrastructures, it's difficult for the rest. But this is some of my advices that can be as well understood in a global advice that we give to you. And we wish you a good stay in Portugal, the best of luck, and that your goals will be achieved soon. Thank you very much.
The chairman, distinguished members of this parliament, we thank you for your kind observations and advice. I want to observe that, yes, Nigeria has security problems, but it's a passing thing. The government is trying as much as possible to handle the security threat and the security challenges we have, both politically and militarily. And I believe that very soon the situation will subside and the environment will be very good for investment. Our democracy is a young democracy. We are thriving to sustain it and to let it grow. And it is growing by the day. I'm sure very soon, and as at now, Nigeria is the largest democracy in Africa, and it is moving and marching on. The observations you made are very valid, but my appeal to these to distinguished members of this parliament is for support. Like you said, the trade balance is in favor of Nigeria. In favor of Nigeria. You can go a long way. We have a lot of investment potentials, not only in tourism. You can invest in other economic sectors of the country, infrastructure development, education, health, and many other sectors where you have the expertise, you can assist by encouraging your various companies and organizations that are interested in investing in those areas. Nigeria will welcome them and will be happy to receive Portuguese investments in Nigeria. We are also looking at capacity development, as observed by distinguished members of this parliament, capacity development in the area of tourism. We have a tourism and hospitality training school, but we'll be happy to receive further training or further investment in capacity development in that area based on your experience and expertise. So we thank you very much for this, for the advice. Before we go, I will ask the participants if they have any questions, contributions, or comments for the distinguished members of this honorable parliament. To please go ahead.
Thank you. Pedro, Pedro, like Peter, Pedro. Saraiva. I have the cards for your colleague. Okay? Okay. My card. Okay. It's enough? One card, it's enough?
No, you need all of them. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
He's Luis.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
L-U-I-S. Luis.
Okay. Thank you for this good meeting and your visit to Portugal. Two questions. Yes. Okay.
I am Captain Ebi Adamu, Nigerian Navy participants. In the brief, the challenges were mentioned. So my question is if they can be highlighted in specific terms so that we'll be able to learn lessons from them. The challenges to tourism in Portugal. What are those specific challenges? That, yes, for you in the tourism industry. And also on the GDP, it was mentioned that tourism contributes a large percentage to the GDP. Is it possible to know what percent also tourism contributes to the Portuguese GDP? Thank you, sir. 12%. In terms of challenges, I think we have a lot of we already have a lot of measures to and it's important to have measures because the measures help us to set goals. We want to increase the number of tourists, but also the value and the number of days that the tourist stays in Portugal. That is the three measures that we use: the absolute number of tourists. The value of the tourism, so to increase in terms of the spending, and the number of days that, because if you increase the number of days, it's more or less certain that you increase the value. And this is important because what? We also have other measures, like the number of hotels and the number of, we call it, beds that we have in terms of the various typics, the types of hotels that we have, like 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars. We also measure the number of beds that we have for each kind of category. And we know that, for instance, 5-star hotels, we are not that bad in some cities. In other cities, we are not that, for instance, Lisbon, we are okay in terms of 5 stars hotel. But in terms of, for instance, 3 stars hotel, we could have more beds. So we know that we can grow in this segment. Another way to see it is, for instance, we are now having strategies to increase the number of low-cost flights. We are doing agreements with companies to increase the number of low-costs because if we increase the number of low-costs, we will increase the number of tourists. So this is the kind of measures that we have. This is the kind of challenge that we have. I don't know if, and also we have regional challenge. For instance, We know that there are four major regional areas for us to grow. We have the Lisbon market, we have the Algarve market, the south, the Porto market, and Madeira. I think it's the four main regional markets that we have. And we have also specific sets of goals for each regional market. The growth in Lisbon, the way to grow in Lisbon is not necessarily the same way to grow in Porto or in Madeira or in Algarve. So we also have regional markets. And we know that each market has a different competition. For instance, Lisbon competes with other capitals, not necessarily the same as Algarve, that is like a beach or beach or golf. And then you have sub-markets, like Luis is saying, like golf. And we also have specific targets inside of each market that you have competition. So for instance, this is the kind of analysis that we do. And of course we have like big goals, but then we already segment all the strategy in terms of smaller goals in specific regions. I don't know if my colleagues want to say more about this, but in general terms, I think it's this.
I think it's the same. Please.
Yes, sir. I'm Colonel A.I. Onibasa. I said, sir, looking at the Lisbon harbor, it's amazing how much it resembles the Lagos harbor back in Nigeria. And also, in the few days that we've spent, I've seen that you have some hotels that are of Portuguese origin. And this has set me thinking. I want to know if you have any policy in place to encourage exports of your expertise to other countries, especially the African market. Do you have any policy? Is there any law in Portugal that is set to encourage the export of your expertise, your hotels, your tourism businesses to like Nigeria, for example?
Well, I would say that pretty much what happened is due mostly to private initiative, not so much in terms of the most well-known international chains of hotels of Portuguese origin. Some of them even got started by Portuguese people who lived abroad. For instance, Group Pestana, which is by now a major player in international markets in Africa. The entrepreneur who created the group, he had a lot of experience in South Africa before he started the business in Portugal. So he realized very soon that there were opportunities abroad, and it was pretty much due to his own efforts. Although, of course, we have our agency for promoting exports, and we have our tourism promoting agency, and they help these initiatives. I'd say it's a combination, but it has been so far mostly due to the entrepreneurial spirit of these chains that are doing quite well, and that has been a wise move, even in some ways to compensate for the lack of opportunities in Europe. Now they're opening in Brazil, for instance, another country where lots of the Portuguese chains are quite present, and in other countries, mainly those of Portuguese language, that's quite common. And I would just add to what Duarte Correia said earlier on. One of our major challenges is how to fight seasonality. So pretty much our demand happens in the months of summer. So it's between July and October. And therefore, there are lots of efforts in terms to diversify what we have to offer, so that we sort of level out a little bit better the number of tourists that is taking place in the summer as opposed to what happens in the winter, because we have been traditionally very connected with sun and beaches, and of course most of demand for that particular offer tend to take place in the summer. So it's one of the challenges we are trying to overcome. It's not totally solved, but things like health-related tourism or nature-related tourism or cultural-based tourism sort of don't have such a strong seasonality in the demand, and these are some of the alternatives that our groups are trying to create, supported by a national strategy for the development of tourism in Portugal. So it's a combination of public policies with, I would say, strong private initiative that has been happening in the past.
The last question, because we have the meeting just 3 o'clock. Okay. In the, thank you very much.
Sir, I'm Commander Katagu. Sir, my question has to do with the visa restriction as it relates to tourism. For example, in the last 12 months, Germany and France, they've been calling for tighter control on the Shanghai Treaty. Conversely, a non-Shanghai country like Turkey, they have made it more flexible to obtain visa, whereby you can easily pick it up at the airport. Now, by so doing, it is possible that you lose some tourists, potential tourists, to countries like Turkey or Dubai and other places. I want to know what is your take on that issue, sir.
Well, in the tourism, this is not a big problem. If for example, we have a Schengen agree in Portugal, and we have some countries, we export a lot of tourists, and we have problems to visa too. For example, Russia, for example, Turkey. The Portuguese need visas to get Turkey. And what we do, we must give bilateral agrees to say, okay, we said in the Turkish government, we need to put in Turkey 2,000, 1,000 Portuguese to make holidays. They say, okay, if you do this only by the tourism, to tourism, for example, hotel, and only to vacations, we agree with you, and we have a fast visa, only copy of passport, but you must need hotel reservation, flight reservation, day for checkout, check-in, and day for checkout. If you do this, it's possible to go to any country in the world. But you don't use the tourism to stay in the country. If you say, okay, I go to a country, each one you choose, that we have restricted politics of entries of people, and you stay, is not possible. Because the tourism is the best way to break these rules of some constraints in visa policies. For example, if I want to go to China or to another country for make tourism, is easy. But if I go to study or to live or to work, is different. It's because the tourism is the first way or the easier way to break some rules and to break some policies and to improve the relationship between countries. But it's very difficult. We have agreements, we are an European community, we have some rules. We have an internal market we must to improve and protect, and we have agreements with other countries. It's very difficult to get in Portugal to go to another country. We have a Schengen agreement. But we can do this, government by government, because it's easier. It's not, I work in tourism some years ago, and if each country who have some politics from more strongly to get the people, normally we can agree. If you buy a hotel, if you buy a plane, if you go to the country to only for vacations, it's easier to get a visa. I will terminate with another thing. We try to sell everything in our country. The wine, the food, the sun, the shop. Everything is in tourism is to sell. For example, now we need to improve our tourism in cities, in capitals, Porto, Lisbon, with city breaks. People get only the weekend to buy things. And we are improved, for example, the MICE. MICE is meeting, incentive, congress, and event. For example, the Brazil take the Football Cup, Angola, the CAN, Portugal, the Euro 2004. The biggest congress is another way to improve, but I said that only country wants to organize the Football Cup or European Cup or the Olympic Games, because they are big events and there are lots of tourism with these events, and we promote our country, our tourism with these events. But for win one of these events, you must have all infrastructure, all country organized, okay?
So, Chairman, distinguished Chairman, other honorable members of this distinguished house, we thank you very much for having time, for sparing time out of your very tight schedule to come and be with us, to honor, to grant us audience at this moment. For us to have four distinguished members of the Parliament of Portugal giving us attention means that you hold Nigeria in high esteem. We thank you very much for this great gesture, and we carry this back home. We have made some appeals. I hope the distinguished parliamentarians will go ahead and assist us in all ways possible. We thank you very much, sir. As a sign of...
thank you for this good meeting, sir. And enjoying Portugal. It's a good country. Good food and good weather.
Yes, sir. So to
good people.
I wish to...
Oblige us 1 minute for group photograph.
Of course.